all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air with Hank Hanegraaff and the Bible Answer Man. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To contact the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast Monday through Friday. At this time, we answer your questions. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, you can access our material on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants is always available at 888-7000-CRI. First up today, Stephen. He's listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I listen to you every night on my way home from work, and it's I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Our son, Jonathan, is 27 years old, and he recently confided in us that he considers himself to be an agnostic Christian, and that concerns my wife and I. And first of all, to me, it seems to be a contradiction in terms, and I would like for you to speak to that. And then second, my wife and I are concerned about Jonathan's salvation in light of that comment, and we would appreciate it if you could help us with that.
Yes, Stephen, I do think that it is a contradiction in terms, because a true believer is one who recognizes that they are created. They believe in a creator. They're not agnostic with respect to a creator. They don't say, I simply don't know or I can't know whether there's a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So the creation itself cries forth, there is a creator. Of course, every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And therefore, the universe didn't spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. The universe had to be created. Beyond that, we have a special revelation about God, and we have the knowledge of God written upon the very tablet of our heart. So those who do not suppress the truth know that there's a God. Jesus said the problem was not that there was not enough light, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Therefore, if you look at the light of creation, and if you do not suppress the light of conscience, you can receive the light of Christ, and that light of Christ reveals to us the specific way in which we can be reconciled to God. And that way is Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And the reason for that is Jesus Christ lived the perfect life which we could never live, and he offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. We simply reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. So the notion of being agnostic and a Christian simply is an oxymoron. It does not compute.
I agree with you, Hank. And my wife has told Jonathan that she is going to be praying for him, and Jonathan has told her not to pray for him. And it's almost he's almost resolute in his conclusion. And you know, Jonathan went to Syracuse, majored in religious studies. Then he went to Fuller Theological Seminary and got a master's in theology. He was a very, very good student, and I think he was searching. And unfortunately, I think that Jonathan has come to an ill-advised conclusion here.
Well, but the final chapter has not been written, Stephen, and that's one thing that you have to realize. You're looking at a snapshot in time. That's where your son is now, but it may not be where he is forever. And therefore, certainly with the love of a father and a mother, I would equip yourself at all costs to be able to communicate to him the truth that there is a God, that we're not functions of random chance. We didn't arise from the primordial slime. There is a God. We're created in the image of God and therefore accountable to him. But you will also find out oftentimes that you need to do exactly what you have proposed to do, and that is pray. You can pray for your son. You have that liberty and that latitude. You could, don't have to pray out loud in front of him, but certainly you have to pray for your son. You can also demonstrate your love, as I'm sure that you do. You love him. You can demonstrate the reality of the Christian life through your actions. And perhaps God will open up many opportunities for you to speak to him or communicate with him through your lips, and therefore you want to be equipped to do that effectively. But in many cases, it will be someone else that reaches him. So remember that prayer is firing the winning shot, and God can ordain circumstances in such a way that someone will come across his path that he can relate to, who can communicate the reality of a Christian worldview.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I really, really appreciate that.
You got it, Stephen.
And, you know, can I mention one more thing?
Sure.
When Jonathan was at Syracuse, he was involved in Baptist Campus Ministries, and he discussed with the director of Baptist Campus Ministries that he was having doubts about his salvation. And the director said that Jonathan shouldn't have any doubts. And so that put Jonathan on the search, I think, for Christ. And we didn't know this until long after the fact. And we're so disheartened now to learn that he's decided that after these many years, you know, again, that he considers himself to be an agnostic Christian. But I will continue to do my best to be a good dad. And thank you.
You got it, Stephen. Thank you so much for your call.
Bye-bye.
My heart is with you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Terry. Terry is listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your ministry. It's been very influential in my father's life as well as in my life. I just want to thank you for that.
You got it.
Just had a quick question for you, something that I'm constantly discussing with other young Christians and Bible studies is the effect that sin has on a Christian. And that the view that I'm hearing a lot of times is that, and I'm thinking that this view is coming from experiences and not from the Word, because a lot of my friends are changing their views, basically saying that it's impossible to live a consistent life. I'm not saying that you will never sin again, but a life that's consistent to where you don't go up and down in your walk. They believe that that's a normal thing for us as Christians, that we will constantly go up and down. I just kind of want to hear your views on that. If you had any scriptures that you can share those with me as well, that would be great.
Yeah, I do think as believers, we constantly struggle against sin because we still have a sin nature. And I think that's certainly amplified in Romans chapter 7 with the Apostle Paul. I like what Luther said, we're snow covered dung, which is to say that positionally, we're accounted righteous before God because we are covered with the spotless, unblemished righteousness of Jesus Christ. But we are yet sinners, and we will continue to struggle with our sin nature until the day we die. And therefore, you have the Apostle Paul, who is a quintessential example to believers, saying, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Now, of course, that's not a statement that is meant to escape moral responsibility, but a statement regarding the powerful lure of sin for those who are covered with a foreign righteousness but are yet sinners. And so we're going to slip on board, but the one thing we know is we're not going to slip overboard, because once you've been justified, you have everlasting life, and the one who justifies you is also in the process of sanctifying you.
Now, Now, is it possible to where a Christian can mature in their walk towards that type of self-control to where, I guess to give you a little bit more details, like, for, you know, especially with young men, that's who I really deal with a lot in terms of, like, lust and pornography and masturbation and things like that. You know that one scripture where it says, let not these things be named once among you, and then it lists all those different sins, especially dealing with sexual immorality. And, you know, they talk about how they keep giving in, even though they try and they strive. It might go good for 2 weeks or good for a month, but then they keep going back into the same thing. And, like, I'm trying to encourage them and, you know, talk about the importance of, you know, upstanding from certain things, you know, not putting yourself in compromised situations, watching what you see and all those type of things. But it's like some of them are just starting to give in, like this is just the way it's going to be.
Well, I think you're, first of all, giving some very good advice. Don't put yourself in a compromising situation. But we are going to always struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The operative word in repentance is that we are willing to turn from our sins and follow Jesus Christ. Now, the fact that we're willing does not mean that every room has been swept clean and that somehow or other we've become perfect. No, we're going to struggle with these things, and that is why we need accountability relationships and why the advice that you have given is poignant advice. You put yourself in compromising positions, and the powerful lure of sin will drag you down. So again, that is why when you become a believer, you're baptized into a fellowship of believers, and within that context, you have an accountability network.
Okay, this is the last question, I promise.
Sure.
You know, Scripture now saying I'm able to keep you from falling. Is that something that's speaking more towards on the day when Christ returns? Positionally, or is that something that can be applied now?
No, we are resting in the one who can keep us from falling. He is the overcomer, and we overcome because we are in him.
Okay. Gotcha. Hey, well, I appreciate you taking out the time to help with some clarification of some things.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job on your own.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, I'm really just trying to help with my brothers. They start to kind of condemn themselves because I've actually had one brother turn from the faith. It really hurts. I'm still praying for him, but it's like they read 1 John and it says, he that practices not of God, so then they begin to doubt their salvation. And, you know, they kind of just, instead of trying to, you know, I like David how when he sinned, he got back up. Instead, they're like, you know what, I already sinned. It's our, you know, it's, and I keep on doing it over and over and over, and I've went to churches and I've heard the words and I got encouraged and I thought I was going to change and then I'm back and doing it again. And
yeah, you know what I'm thinking about as you're talking, and I think you touched on this, Terry, but what is so critically important is that with birth must come growth, and therefore we have to avail ourselves of the means of grace. Now, one of the ways you do that is you get into the Word of God and you get the Word of God into you. By meditating on the Word of God, you think about those things which are pure and righteous and just, and there's a transforming impact. So there's no magic solution, but you have to give yourself to the basics through which you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditation on the Word of God becomes the missing link between the intake of the Word of God and an effective prayer life. Just as the Bible's God's way of communicating with us, prayer is our way of communicating with God. It is a way of building a relationship with the lover of our souls out of which everything else flows, including a righteous and holy life. And then we want to be intimately involved in church life because many logs burning together will burn brightly. But when a log falls to the side, as what you just communicated, the embers quickly die out. We also want to be involved in learning to defend our faith, because in doing so, we're involved in the Holy Spirit working through us in the process of testifying of the reality of our faith to other people. And there's nothing like the presence of the Holy Spirit in witness as well as in fellowship and in oneness with respect to the body of Christ. And then, of course, we need to understand what essential Christian doctrine is. I think this is one of the missing links, because so many people that profess to be Christians don't know what they have given their life to. And to that end, although this may sound like a commercial, I did a little flip chart. It's 4x6, it's laminated, and it gives essential Christian doctrine in a memorable way. And it not only communicates what we believe with respect to the essentials, but why we believe what we believe. That doctrines booklet is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'd like to say more. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Come here to registration break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with a lot of interesting questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his 1,000-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Josh McDowell.
Probably one of the biggest things I appreciate what you're doing through the radio ministry is that, one, you'll handle controversial subjects. A lot of people won't. They'll tiptoe around it. Then second, when you write and speak and all, you're authoritative because if there's anyone out there who's done their homework, it's you. And boy, do we need that today. I mean, every time I'm able to catch the answer, man, I hone right in on it. Because I think I can say, and I can't say this of most programs or anything, every single time I walk away with a new concept, a new idea, something that I can chew on that's relevant. And man, I love that to happen in my life.
The reality is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to our callers. Next up, Jim, listening on XM Radio in Waco, Texas. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Hank. For my question, I want to thank you for everything. I know you get on here and talk about the stations that have been lost. And what I've been able to get from the program, the resources, the authors that you expose us all to, it's priceless. And I contribute monthly, and I'm just proud to do so. I just want to thank you for all that you and your folks do there for us.
Well, Jim, thank you, and it's because of people like you that we can do what we're doing, so God bless you.
Thank you, Hank. My question was, Solomon, in the Old Testament, at the condition of his life when he died was significantly different than when he started with the Lord. And I know that there's no indication in Scripture of whether or not he obtained salvation or is going to be out with the Lord. But my question was, post-Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we can fall on board but not overboard, as you say. As far as the pre-Christ believers, how do you explain that to somebody who comes up with a question like that, where we're sealed, and if our condition in life towards the end maybe somewhat similar to Solomon's. How do you give a well-reasoned answer to that?
Yeah, well, I think of Solomon's dad, David, and in Psalm 51, he says, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me." So Solomon's dad had sinned grievously against the Lord as well. My point being that just as the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption in the New Testament, so he does in the Old Testament. We always have one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, and the power of the Holy Spirit to seal us in salvation is not limited to an epoch of time that takes place after the coming of Christ. The difference is, prior to the coming of Christ, people look to the coming of Christ through types and shadows. After the coming of Christ, we have the substance and therefore no need for the civil and ceremonial laws, temple, priest, and sacrifice, and the like, because the substance has come.
Okay. So was Solomon Shields?
Well, I can't say that. I cannot say that for anyone with absolute certainty, because salvation is the province of God. But we know by way of what the Bible tells us with respect to Old Testament patriarchs like Abraham that he was, because we find him in the Faith Hall of Fame. And we find that he had faith, which was salvific, not after he was circumcised, but before he was circumcised, because he believed in God, even though he saw God in a much more dim fashion, which is to say he did not have light of the unfolding revelation that you're talking about, which we have after the time of Jesus Christ, but he looked forward faithfully because his faith was in a God, a builder, a new Jerusalem, the foundations of a city whose architect was God. So it was accounted as righteousness to him because he looked forward in faith to what God had revealed to him through the types and shadows.
Okay. Now, a quick one. Is apostasy related to those who have genuinely become born again? And someone who's genuinely born again, like their heart has been circumcised, is apostasy associated with people like that?
Well, it is for those that believe in apostasy. Those people would say, yes, you can walk away from the faith. And that is a view that is held by Christians. I don't particularly subscribe to that view myself, because I believe that once you are saved, you have everlasting life. And that everlasting life does not start when you die. It starts when you embrace the lover of your soul. And so then you have everlasting life.
Okay, great, Hank. Thanks for your time. And I look forward to, in the future, just increasing my donations. Like I said again, this is priceless, in my opinion.
Well, Jim, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome, sir.
God bless you, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Joe. Joe is listening on KUTR in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am absolutely thrilled to be able to speak to you. Your essential Christian doctrines has converted me from Catholicism to reality, and it was so great I had to send a copy of it to my son, who's been struggling the same way I have.
Well, thank
you. I just have a little question.
Yeah.
In the Bible there, it says, I think it's in, I'm not exactly sure of the scripture, but it says, obey your government.
Yeah, Romans 13.
That's it. But if we obey our government, and then in Revelations, I think it says, if you accept the mark of the beast, you're condemned, which would be the government giving you the mark of the beast.
Well, I don't think that that is a corollary, that you can say that this is what the Bible is speaking about. The mark of the beast in the book of Revelation is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, so the mark in Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, it symbolizes identity with the beast. So when Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, I will also write on him my new name, we intuitively realize that Jesus does not have a magic marker in mind. So the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. So I don't think we should suppose that it is some kind of a physical mark or a microchip. Rather, it is identifying with the beast. Now, I've identified with the Lamb. There's no mark on me that says identity with the Lamb. There's no neon sign on my forehead, but I have the mark of the Lamb because I've identified with Jesus Christ, and those who identify with that which opposes Jesus Christ or Antichrist have the mark of the beast. So it's a metaphor that symbolizes identity with the beast, and it does not entail some kind of a physical mark.
In your heart, not on your body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so very much, Hank.
You've got it.
I've been sweating over that for days.
I've written about that in some detail in a book called The Apocalypse Code.
Okay, I will have to try to purchase that one.
And I also have written about that in the Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. I want to say something about what Joe said. Essential Christian Doctrine is a laminated 4x6 flip chart. And you can put it in your pocket or your purse, but it gives you a memorable format exactly what you have given your life to as a believer. It's the main and the plain things, essential Christian doctrine. And it not only gives you what we believe with respect to essential Christian doctrine, but why you believe what you believe. And when I first put this together, I used to carry it with me. I'd be waiting in a line or I'd be sitting in a restaurant waiting for food, and I'd flip through that flip chart and I would be memorizing some of the passages because, for example, the D stands for the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says Jesus Christ is divine, and I list the passages, and you can memorize them. Jesus Christ says that he was divine, and the credentials of Christ as codified in the Scripture demonstrate that Jesus Christ is divine. So it's something that you can have with you. It's what you've given your life to. And these are the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. They are, as I said, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. This is an incredible resource, and we make it available to those that join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team or make a gift to the ministry so we can continue this broadcast around the globe. So when you send your gift, ask for Essential Christian Doctrine, the flip chart. We'll send it out to you as our gift. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Another word which I think is instructive is that on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we do not pretend to be politically correct. That's not our purpose. We do what we do because truth matters. And if there are teachers that are dispensing spiritual cyanide, we call them out because they are distorting the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And these are the teachers that compromise, confuse, or contradict essential Christian doctrine. Now, in secondary issues, we can debate those vigorously. We don't have to divide over secondary issues. But with essential Christian doctrine, there can be no compromise. These are the very doctrines that form that line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Again, that is why essential Christian doctrine, the little flip chart, is so helpful. And again, I've codified essential Christian doctrines around the word doctrine, so that you can remember what it is that you have given your life to. Again, for your gift to the ministry, I'll send you the flip chart, Essential Christian Doctrine. We'll be right back with your questions and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned.
Charles Darwin had envisioned the evolution of life through many small, undirected steps. Yet the fossil record reveals no such pattern of gradual development. Instead, early in the Cambrian period, compound eyes, articulated limbs, sophisticated sensory organs, and skeletons burst into existence seemingly out of nowhere. How do we reconcile Darwin's vision with the evidence? Order Darwin's Dilemma on DVD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online 24 hours a day at www.equip.org and find intellectually satisfying answers that might astonish you. We'll return with more of the show right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Rave reviews are coming in about Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book. Listen to what Dr. Ed Young, senior pastor of Houston's Second Baptist Church, recently said.
First of all, it's a great book for apologetics. You have so many people out here who are secular-minded, and they get confused about obvious things. They question the historicity of Scripture, inspiration, revelation, etc. And this is a wonderful book for apologetics. Number two, it is a pocket commentary. You not only answer these questions simply, but you have a footnote. In other words, I want to know more. Number three, it's a daily devotional book. I would recommend that someone would take one or two or three of these and read it as a devotional doctrinal study. And number four, it's a terrific book for discipleship. I have given this book to literally hundreds of people. This is really a beautiful, beautiful gift book.
Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book, packed with many answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity, when you call 888-7000-CRI or order online on our secure website at www.equip.org. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President, Hank Hanegraaff.
Before we go back to our callers, I want to mention that you should mark your calendar for the next couple of days. Right here on the broadcast, Lee Strobel, an opportunity to ask Lee Strobel. He is an acclaimed journalist, best-selling author, terrific apologist, has been on the broadcast many times. A unique opportunity to speak directly to Lee Strobel right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. All you have to do is call 888-ASK-HANK. We're also going to be featuring a unique product that Lee has put together. It's The Case for Christ, which is the film. It's not the book, it's a film. And it is just exhilarating because it gives you the historical accuracy of the Gospels. A lot of people are calling into question the accuracy of the Gospels, like Bart Ehrman from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. The personal claims of Christ. How can we believe in his resurrection from the dead? Not only that, but there's a film on The Case for Faith, which deals with all kinds of very significant questions. Foremost of those questions is, why is Jesus the only way to God? Are we making an exclusivistic claim? Is he the only way to God? And how could a loving God exist if there's evil and suffering in the world? We'll be talking about that on tomorrow's broadcast. And then The Case for a Creator, the film. So you got three films here, all in one package. Again, extraordinary. And this film traces Strobel's own journey from spiritual skepticism to profound faith. And again, he does that by looking at the scientific evidence. So these three films all in one package, it's a three-disc film collection available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, we'll be talking about that on tomorrow's broadcast, the next day as well, and we'll have Lee right here, so your opportunity to speak directly to Lee Strobel, again, a unique opportunity. So make sure you call tomorrow, 888-ASK-HANK will be the number to dial. All of that starts tomorrow and the next day right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Back to the phone line, Sherry, listening on KCIV in Fresno, California. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Before I ask my question, I just want to say how grateful I am to you. I've been listening to you for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
And supporting you. My son is in prison. Well, actually, we've been praying for him, so now he's actually in fire camp, so he's been all over the place dealing with the fires all over California, and he is leading a Bible study because I sent him your book.
Well, bless you for that encouragement. Thank you.
That's my praise, but now I have a question.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law seems to be very faithful. She grew up in the mountains with just her dad. They went to mountain and beautiful, wonderful scenery Sunday church up in the mountains. He was in the Forest Service. And so she has a very just wonderful, open heart faith. But now she was excited. She called me. I met a new friend, and she's so sweet, and she's just like me. She loves her kids, and she loves to bake, and she's a Mormon. She invited her to church, and she knew, she's like, what does it mean? I don't know what Mormons believe in, but I told her I'm not sure that that's the same faith as you. And she said, well, I'm not going to bug you about it. But now she's asking me what it means. I went on your website, I downloaded three different articles, but I was wondering if you could give me something very simple to talk to her about, because she's young and she's just something quick and simple of what's wrong with that.
Yeah, in fact, I can send that to you, and it'll come directly out of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I have two entries under Mormonism. One entry deals with whether or not Mormonism is Christian. And what we point out in that particular article is that Christians believe that God is spirit. Joseph Smith, who was the founder of Mormonism, taught that God himself was once as we are now, and as an exalted man who sits enthroned in yonder heavens. So they hold to a plurality of God and contend that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become. In other words, we can become gods. This is obviously not a Christian notion. They also believe that Jesus Christ, rather than being the eternal, self-existent creator of the universe, is the spirit brother of Lucifer. In fact, they contend that Jesus Christ is our elder brother because Jesus Christ was an emanation from Father God and Mother God, and so are we. We pre-existed in eternity, and now we have bodies. They believe in the Book of Mormon, not the Bible, as the correct, the most correct of any book on earth, and they say it's the keystone to their religion. And when it comes to salvation, they hold to salvation by works rather than by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And as a result, their concept of heaven is diametrically opposed to a biblical concept of heaven. In their concept of heaven, there's a telestial, terrestrial, and celestial kingdom. And if you can get to the third level of the celestial kingdom by being a temple Mormon, then you can become a god of your own planet. So it is a completely different belief system than the belief system that we hold to as evangelical Christians. So it's definitely not Christian. And then I also point out in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition that the Book of Mormon is not credible. So while the Bible can be demonstrated to be divine rather than human in origin, the Book of Mormon can be demonstrated to be the fantasy land in the mind of Joseph Smith that does not correspond to reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a completely different religion that has no basis in a Christian worldview. It's a Christian cult. It's a cult of Christianity. It's not genuine Christianity.
Well, that helps a lot. And I think getting the flip chart for her will help too.
Yeah, hang on. I can get this information out to you.
Okay.
Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate your call.
Thanks
for your encouragement. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Janet next. She's in Ogden, Utah, and listening on KUTR. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. My husband and I listen to your broadcast, and we very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I had a question. If you've ever heard of Harold Camping... And
yes, unfortunately,
I
have.
Who is he tied with? Or what do you know about him?
Well, I first got interested in Harold Camping back in 1994 when he wrote a book in which he said that by September 6, 1994, Christ would return, the end will come, and no one else can be saved. And so I started studying Harold Camping, and he has gone from bad to worse since then. Now, obviously, 1994 has come and gone, so he's got a new date. His newest date is 2011, I think. So he set that off a little into the future. He's getting older. But he also says that God has done away with the church, and thus there should be no more local congregations, no more elders or deacons or ordinances such as baptism or the Lord's Supper. He says that the Holy Spirit has left the church an empty shell with no power to proclaim the gospel. He calls followers to flee churches and form fellowships around his teachings. And so he has gone off the proverbial deep end, bad theology. So error leads to error, heresy leads to heresy, and he's the quintessential example.
Okay.
And we did an article on Harold Camping and his call to flee the church and form fellowships around his own radio ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a good example of a false teacher in our midst.
A false teacher?
Yes. And I say that without any equivocation. He's flat out a false teacher who compromises, contradicts, and confuses essential Christian doctrine. And certainly is teaching people very bad principles with respect to reading the Bible for all it's worth.
Okay. Right. And I also want to ask you, since we're living here in Mormon country, do the LDS believe in hell?
Well, they do believe in hell, but it's for a select few. So they have a completely different concept of hell than the concept of hell that we have in evangelical Christianity. In fact, they believe that whoremongers and the world's vilest people get to go to the celestial kingdom.
Okay.
Then lukewarm Mormons, religious people, and those who accept the Mormon gospel in the spirit world typically enter the terrestrial heaven, and then temple Mormons make it into the celestial heaven, and only those who are sealed in secret temple rituals make it to the third level of the celestial kingdom and become gods of their own planets. So with respect to hell, it is something that is reserved for only a select few, as one might imagine when murderers and the vilest people on earth get to go to a heaven called the celestial heaven. So you'd have to be an apostate to go to hell. Someone like a Sandra Tanner, someone who has spoken out as a Mormon, who has converted from Mormonism and now speaking out against Mormonism, and therefore, in their view, is an apostate. So, again, their view of eternity is far different than a biblical view of eternity. In fact, it is contra a biblical view of eternity. Many people still hanging on. I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, right here tomorrow on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, your opportunity to speak directly to Lee Strobel when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. You can always access us and get our materials on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000. CRI, out of time, out of here. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org, and once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.